Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. This week's podcast is titled, How Students Can Work in Teams Remotely with Rochelle Denae Pope. Rochelle is the author of numerous books, including Chart a New Course, A Guide to Teaching Essential Skills for Tomorrow's World, which was published by ISTE this spring. Rochelle and I met as Nearpod pioneers a few years ago, and in addition to her role working with students, she's a regular contributor to Getting Smart and shares lots and lots on social. I'll make sure to connect all of her social networks right here wherever you're listening to this episode. Of course, you can find all the show notes at classtechtips.com/podcast. Let's jump into the interview. I cannot wait for you to hear from Rochelle. Rochelle, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. I've got a copy of your new book right next to me, but I'm hoping you can start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast today. I'm very excited to be here to talk with you. So my name is Rochelle Denae Pose. I am a Spanish and STEAM teacher. I've been teaching for, let's just say, a while outside of Pittsburgh. And when I originally started teaching, I actually taught French, but then just kind of made a shift. And I had taught French and Spanish for years. But in the last five, it's just been Spanish. And I have an eighth grade course called STEAM, What's Next in Emerging Technology, that I absolutely love teaching, because seeing those eighth graders and thinking back to my own eighth grade experience and how much the world has changed, in education, technology. So I keep pretty busy with those activities just as far as teaching. I also do some work as a consultant, and I've become an author in the last year, do a lot of writing, and just love learning.
Well, it's, you know, we've had a chance to connect before and talk and chat at different events. And so I really appreciate you coming on today to talk about your new book, Chart a New Course, A Guide to Teaching Essential Skills for Tomorrow's World. And, you know, right now this spring, you know, we are in the midst of a quick, sudden, unexpected shift to learning at home or remote learning. And I'm hoping that you can share a little bit with us today about one of the topics in your book of collaboration and collaboration in the classroom, which we know is so important, but helping us envision what this looks like when kids are working remotely.
Right. Yeah, it has been, without a doubt, just so sudden, right? And I've been talking to a lot of educators, some of whom I know, and then some who've just kind of reached out to me on different social media forums and asked questions about, you know, technology and where to start. And I've told everybody, like, it really does not matter. I don't believe that it has mattered how much experience you had before, whether you were always using technology or you were just getting started anywhere in between, or even whether or not you were teaching online, because it happened so fast that even if you had any amount of preparation, you were still unprepared. And for me, this is, as much as I've used technology over the last, I don't know how many years at this point, I've never taught a high school course online. And so trying to wrap my head around, like, where do I even start was my biggest problem. And I decided, like, it was overwhelming initially to think about all of the different things in my own classroom, just like doing the audio and the video and the activities and then the books and all of the materials. You know, we have so many to choose from. But once I like took a step back and realized I should focus first on, like, how am I going to communicate with my students? And then how am I going to kind of replace that in-person time that we have where we can talk and I can ask them questions and we can build those collaborative skills. How can I kind of replicate that somehow in this virtual space? So that's really where I started. And, you know, I've been kind of recommending to other teachers, like, focus on that first, because that connect, I keep trying to call it like connections, connectedness, but I say it so fast sometimes that it's hard to get that together. So we'll just go connections. But it is so important. And I think that's something that we need to be mindful of, like, all the time, not just now. And so I really have tried to pick tools that will enable my students and myself to connect and collaborate, but also to kind of tie and connect with their families too, and then use that as a building point to move forward.
Yeah. And I really appreciate what you said about this idea that just because you were maybe comfortable using Google Classroom during the school day, or you've tried out Schoology before and it was a great way for kids to submit their work, right? It's a very different kind of mindset to come into when kids are not side by side with you, right? When you're not having those conversations throughout the school day, when you're not, you know, fostering that kind of discussion within a classroom setting, right? When we're kind of making this shift to something that's remote, when kids, you know, aren't quite side by side. So what has that, you know, sort of discussion looked like? You mentioned some of the importance of connections with families and students in the communication piece. Have you seen them having discussions, or have you been able to facilitate discussions with them while doing this remote work?
I have, yeah. And the biggest piece for me was trying to make sure, like, I know that in my classroom, I use Remind. And in our school, we have Microsoft Teams. And it's not, I mean, not every teacher is using it, and we don't all use the same tools. And so for years, I've been using Remind with my students. And though, even though I say, make sure that you are in our class, I mean, I need to be better about making sure that all students are not only in the class, but that they have the access to it. Because when they're in school versus when they're home, like, we really don't know for sure. And so initially, it was hard. I mean, for the first couple of weeks, trying to see, you know, were my emails being delivered to the students, or were they coming back, and all of that, trying to make sure that you reach all the students. So for me, and actually for our school, there's not, at least not at this point, something that's used across the board by every single teacher. So they started by having everything set up on the website for all students and families to be able to access. And so each week we would post things on there, but then each teacher would send an email throughout the week to their classes. So setting that up, and then I decided that I was going to use Zoom and not have mandatory meetings, but because you can't really do that, at least not in our school, because we didn't have that system set in place, but set up all of those steps, you know, so nobody was going to get into the meetings. But it really was great to see the students and to hear each other's voices and to have that period where we can connect even for 20, 25 minutes. But I started to see an increase in the number of students that were connecting and, you know, engaging with us in class, but also working together too during the process. So it, while at first it was kind of like, is this going to work? It did. And it was pretty quick to happen to see students would start to tell their friends, like, oh, you should join in class, because it's just nice to be able to feel like we're actually together in that same space. And that was the biggest piece for me. It was like, how can I make everybody feel connected somehow that will work?
And I think that's such a huge part of kind of making that shift from, we had this time face to face, right? And now we are far away from each other, but it's great to hear that your students are able to say, right, this is what I need, right? I want to see your face come into the Zoom class if they're texting a friend, you know, or reaching out to them and letting them know, and kind of having that sense of, where is that person? I need to check in with them, right? As much as you and your colleagues are reaching out directly, right? To have that other layer of check-in and community, I think is really important. And one of the, you know, we're not in a hybrid model right now, but I think there are some parallels to hybrid, where you get to spend time face to face and then you have the remote piece, because the sense of community is a little bit different. So it's interesting to hear that there's that kind of level of connection that's transferring from the kids working together in a classroom to being, you know, outside of the classroom. And you mentioned also some of the streamlining that's taken place in your school in terms of getting people on the same page with different tools and different resources, but also that autonomy to use tools that you know you already have those routines with your students, like Remind or Microsoft Teams or with Zoom. What are some other ed tech tools that maybe in a classroom setting or in this remote setting have you seen that really helped foster that collaboration?
Well, the one, and in my school district, we don't have a tech coach. And so when all of this kind of happened, you know, with all the years that I've spent sitting behind my computer, and of course, you know, we've been at conferences together and there's so much going on, I just felt like I should probably reach out and share some of these ideas because not everybody has access to all of those different events and everything. And so for me, when I was listening to some of the teachers, especially elementary, who do things in their classrooms like the read alouds, or they're helping their students to just learn how to speak and develop those skills, wanting to not only be able to like talk to them in a sense, but to give them instruction and to even to hear back from the students. And so for me, when people say like, what is your favorite tool or what tool would you recommend? Buncee is always one that I go to because I love those tools and Nearpod as well. But I love those tools that you can really do so much, but beyond that, that already have so much available for educators to get started with that you don't have to worry about the time investment or the learning curve because you can just pick it up and really can start right away with it. And so those two primarily, but the first thing I did was set up a couple webinars, taught a lot of the teachers about Buncee, and then they sent me these, whatever they created, where they were welcoming their students and giving them messages or they were reading to them. And it was just awesome to see like all of that sense of being overwhelmed and the frustration that they had been feeling about like, how can I teach my class? How can I reach my students? You know, totally transformed over to like, I made this and, you know, they're getting that feedback from students and families that it's working. And I was like, I couldn't believe what they had created. Like, I was so excited when I would get another email with something else that they had made. And it was just a nice, like a sense of relief to see that something was really working and it was helping them.
And I'm glad you mentioned Buncee. I'll put a link in the show notes to this as well. I have a partnered post going up for them that'll go up right before our episode goes out, so folks will be able to see that. And I know Buncee has a lot of remote learning resources. They have some collaborative aspects too. And I like how you mentioned the kind of teacher designed piece, right? They might have made something that then they can get a response from their class, or at least their class gets to hear their voice as they're sharing something they're excited about. But also something they might say, here's your way to try it out, or here's your kind of model. Now that you've seen what I've done, you can kind of go and run with it. So something like Buncee is great. And they know they have a lot of remote learning resources. And Nearpod, I don't know if you've done any, I know you've done the self-paced and you know, are super familiar, obviously, with Nearpod, but have you seen any folks using that self-paced for remote learning? I know I've done it in webinar settings with folks that were not side by side.
Yeah, I have. And I've done it before, but I have also done it this year. And it's funny, just this morning, I was making a lesson. I did a lesson 2 days ago with my Spanish 2 class. They always like to play the different games like the Kahoot, the GimKit, and the Quizlet Live. And they miss doing that. So that's the nice thing about having these meetings with Zoom is that you can actually still do those and feel like, okay, and you can hear each other's voices. But just this morning, I was making a Nearpod lesson for my Spanish 1 class to do for our class meeting today. And love creating because it's always fun to see the new features that come up. But also this week, because trying to balance out the activities my students are doing because they're taking on like an entire class load of all online courses, which is overwhelming, of course. But I tried to give them a little bit more room to kind of explore things on their own. So I did launch two of those self-paced ones with Nearpod last week. And they really like it because they get to go on field trips or they get to do the different activities. And it's different than what they've been doing, whether, you know, other classes or even in my own class, when they say, do we have to do another workbook page? I'm like, well, no, we can do something different. So yeah, it's nice to have those options.
And those two examples you gave are so great because they illustrate something that I think a lot of people are thinking more about, which is that asynchronous and the synchronous piece, right? The anytime that you want to this week, which is more of the asynchronous piece, and then the please show up at 2:45, you know, synchronous piece. And so when you're doing those kind of Zoom calls and you have the cahoots and everyone can kind of log in no matter where they physically are, you know, they're all together at that same time, which is so wonderful. But then of course, you know, kids can participate in a collaborate board within Nearpod, right? Or they can see what other folks have responded to in their class, even if they aren't able to log in at the same time. So I love that you have kind of both of those models going on where kids are able to connect, even if they might have a different home schedule or different responsibilities or, you know, a sibling they're looking after during part of the day. And so it's really wonderful to think that those are things that are possible, right, as we're being more thoughtful and scaling into these pieces. So you had mentioned, Rochelle, about how you're sharing a bit with other teachers in your district. And, you know, there is that aspect of you don't know what you don't know, right? Or you don't know what questions to ask. And I'm sure people are coming to you, you know, asking you questions that are maybe getting at something, even if they're not sure what they're kind of getting at, right? So are there some common questions you've seen from maybe folks reaching out to you on social or from your school or district? Are there things they're looking for that you keep hearing from people?
Yeah, the number one thing was there were a lot of questions about video, whether teaching a lesson, like doing like a screen recording or just talking to students and not necessarily doing a screen recording. So that was a big piece, is just being able to like share, you know, the power of voice to be able to explain something. I mean, there's tons of videos out there we can choose from, but it's so much more authentic and meaningful when it's actually our voice and we can add in our own humor, or if we tell like goofy jokes or whatever it is that makes us in our classrooms. So that was common. Another one was just, how can I make this manageable? You know, if you go from not using a lot of technology or maybe not even using technology at all, depending on, you know, what you teach or the access piece, to then say, okay, now we're going to use this whole learning management system or something, that can be overwhelming. So a lot of the concern was, well, if I want to give them a worksheet or if I want to add a website or include a video, like what is the best way to do that without having to have them go to all of these different places? Mm-hmm. So looking at tools, you know, like Wakelet or Padlet. But then if you want to do a combination of all of that, then that's what put me back to, okay, well, you know what, let's go with Buncee because you can put all of those things in and change them out. And so I think, you know, the common theme between all of them is sometimes you really can't, like, you don't need all the tools. Sometimes, I mean, it's nice to have a variety, but at a time like this, to have one or two that you can really do all of those same things that you were doing in your classroom and even more, and build on them, I think that's what's more important. And that's what people have tended to be looking for as well, to kind of like, can you help me sort through all of the thousands? Like, they're awesome. There's so many things out there, but I can't go through them all right now. And this is what I want to do. So that's kind of filtering to find something.
Yeah. And those kind of open-ended tools, right? Those ones that you can use in lots of different ways. I think I find myself coming back to those a lot as well in terms of recommendations. Like if you and your students already know how Google Slides works, here's four more things you can do with it that might fit that, as opposed to trying to sign up for something new or try something new during this time. And I know I give a lot of those listicle presentations, 20 ways or 20 tools, right? And all of that. But I know I always try and start it with, please only do three of these things, right? Fill up your tool belt with just two or three and maybe make some recommendations to a colleague, because you're so right. Giving those responses in a way that just helps someone who is already kind of in a space and finding success with something, I think is going to be less overwhelming than trying to give them three new things to try and look at. Yeah. And so I'm wondering, with your conversations, your observations, the work you're doing with your students right now, you know, as we get ready to finish up this school year, with most of those school years finishing up in a home learning environment, what are you hoping more people will talk about or reflect on when this school year comes to an end?
Yeah, that, and it's interesting because I have some friends, like I still have until I think the end of May. We go through the beginning of June as teachers, but I have some friends finishing up now. And so it's so interesting to me, just like how it's so, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it at this point. Like everybody's in a different phase, I guess, now you could say, of how long you've been in this experience with this remote teaching, remote learning, or even what they're called at this point, because there's also the distance learning and all of that. But I think, you know, just looking at where you are now. And for me, the hardest part was deciding, like, initially I was trying to do all of the things I would normally do in my 42-minute class period, like the video and activities and a game and assess my students, which I could do. I could walk away from 42 minutes and I had talked to all 20 of them and we did a lot of different activities. But then I was trying to put all of that into like the week and it was so hard to do. And so it's really forced me, and I think it's probably forcing a lot of other people, educators, to really look at what we're doing in our classrooms, the type of work and activities we're creating for our students, but also to keep in mind that, like, when they're not with us in the classroom and they are at home, if they need support, like what kind of support is there? Or if they have other things going on in their lives, like right now, I mean, like you mentioned before with siblings or, and I have students who I wasn't even thinking about that they would still be working. I was just thinking that they're just sitting at home all day and that's that. But just a lot of things to consider moving forward. You know, are we prepared if this happens again? Are we better prepared if this happens again? What are some things that we can do? Like, I think it's a great time to take some risks and try some new ideas that maybe you were afraid to try or didn't have time to do or weren't really sure where to begin. Like, this is the time to do it and see how it works. But hopefully it's just a period of reflection too, to kind of, I don't know, maybe it's a push that we all kind of needed, although I would rather have had a way different kind of push. But I don't know. It's, I keep hearing everybody say opportunities, you know, there's opportunities everywhere. Dawn Wetrick is always saying there's opportunities are everywhere. And I have started to believe that even more. And so I'm trying to like really do things a little bit differently than I've done and not be so bound by like the books or what I was doing and use it as a learning experience for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective because I think that is something folks are tackling and thinking about now. Like, is this something I want to keep doing this way? Do I have an opportunity to change what I would normally do? And those I know are questions that people are sorting through and will continue to sort through. So hearing that you're kind of thinking through those pieces and kind of looking beyond the textbook pages and trying out some things right now that feel good in this space, you know, I'm hoping that more folks will find those connections to kind of, now I have more confidence, right, with this type of digital tool, and now I can kind of bring it into this other piece. So thank you so much, Rochelle, for taking time to chat with us today, to share with us your new book, which I will make sure to link out to in the show notes. But I want to make sure people know where they can get in touch with you and learn more about your work. So where is the best place for someone to find you and learn more about what you do?
Well, thank you for the podcast and for the chance to talk. I will tell you, I am very consistent when it comes to, I don't know, certain things like handles and all of that. So to connect with me, Twitter, Instagram, I'm very consistent. It's RDENE915. So Twitter and Instagram, that's it for those. My email, it's just that with Gmail. And then my blog site is the same thing. You just got to add the .com at the end of it. And I'm pretty sure my podcast is the same too. So would love to connect, answer questions, and just keep on learning.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rochelle had so many great ideas and strategies to share, and like every episode, I want to finish it up by helping make EdTech easy. First, reflect on your current communication channels. Then, consider synchronous learning opportunities so students can learn together. Next, include asynchronous learning opportunities so students can learn together but check in at their own pace. And finally, provide ways for students to hear your voice and check in on one another. I'll share links to the tools and resources we mentioned, including Rochelle's new book, in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the details. Have you taken the silly new quiz I made yet? It matches your personality to a few favorite EdTech tools. Take the quiz to see which EdTech tool you're most like. Just go to classtechtips.com/quiz. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow me at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations with webinars and virtual professional development. So if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way. And sending a shout out and thank you to Rev for supporting the podcast. You can find the transcripts for this episode made with rev.com on the episode page, classtechtips.com/podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.